This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, Lim Soo Ann, and Dashun Johan. So earlier, we were talking about a collaborative audiovisual project that pairs Rohingya and Malay folk songs. But now in our second story, we're taking on politicians and TikTok.
Yes, so we're asking you on social media, are social media platforms like TikTok effective methods of communication for politicians? So your options are yes and no. Right now, 68% of you say no, but 32% of you say yes. So you can take that poll or tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio, or you know, you have anything you'd like to share with us, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes. So, you know, guys, remember when TikTok was used solely for silly short skits, and when Snapchat was the, you know, secret app you used when you wanted to share pictures of and videos of you partying with your friends but didn't want your parents to find out? Well, those days are gone. Okay, maybe not completely gone, but on top of all those things, now politicians are increasingly using apps like TikTok and Snapchat to reach out to younger members of the electorate and disseminate their messages or just encourage people to go out and vote.
So this is certainly the case in the United States, right? So studies have found that young Americans do not always register to vote as soon as they reach the required legal age. So the director of Tufts University Center for Information and Research on Civil Learning and Engagement, Kei Kawashima Ginsburg, told Bloomberg that nobody turns 18 and thinks it's time for me to register to vote. They also don't come equipped with knowledge on exactly how to do that.
That's right. And this is exactly why Snapchat is now encouraging American users who are old enough to vote to register directly via its app. And guess what? You know, the experiment worked. 750,000 young Americans have already registered to vote via the app. Even former US President Barack Obama hopped on Snapchat to encourage Americans to exercise their democratic right.
Yes, but not everything political on the app is bipartisan, right? Candidates themselves are using Snapchat to reach out to younger voters, one of whom is the Democratic candidate Mark Kelly, who launched his own Snapchat filter, which I guess is the 2020 alternative to hanging flags and putting up posters at the side of the road.
Far more environmentally friendly as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a similar trend is seeping into Malaysia, perhaps not so much Snapchat, but definitely TikTok. In October, former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad set up a TikTok account and uploaded a video of himself and his wife recreating a photo from their younger days. And while the video wasn't political in nature, many recognize it as an attempt by the veteran politician to reach out to a younger audience.
So apart from Tun Dr. Mahathir, the likes of Hannah Yeoh, Yeoh Bee-in and Syed Saddiq have all made TikTok videos. Syed Saddiq is probably the best at it, regularly infusing messages into the videos he makes, such as there was one video I remember of his cat reciting the Rukunagara, or the other time when he was cheekily poking fun of the government's previous statement that even social media users need to apply for a license before recording and uploading videos onto their platforms. So apart from that, Syed Saddiq also uses TikTok to introduce members from Parti Muda to promote his hometown and constituency Muar and showcase the work that he does for his constituency. And as of right now, the former youth and sports minister has close to 200,000 followers on TikTok.
Yeah, and for TikTok, that's a huge number, especially in Malaysia. But the question is, can politicians, can their presence on social media platforms like TikTok generate genuine interest in politics among the younger electorate? Or do people just, you know, like and share their content, but quickly move on with their lives after? Well, to help us unpack that, we have on the line Norman Goh, who is the head of social media and a journalist at The Vibes. Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show. So, Norman, we've seen politicians like Syed Saddiq, Hannah Yeoh, and even Tun Dr. Mahathir post videos on TikTok. Is this an effective way of reaching out to and building their brand among younger members of the electorate?
Thanks, Dashun. I think, yes, of course. It's, TikTok and Snapchat. I mean, both of these have a very, very young audience. And Facebook itself is getting older, literally. The platform is aging. In a way, it's becoming way less engaging to those age 25 and below, but still, Malaysians spend about 3 to 4 hours on Facebook. It's still among the top go-to platforms for news and information. But what's interesting here to see is that there are more and more younger audiences starting to populate Twitter. And without a doubt, Twitter is the only social media platform now offering chronological feed. So it's an entirely different market on TikTok. And previously on Snapchat. And right now, TikTok is more popular than Snapchat. So it's Snapchat people are leaving Snapchat for TikTok. So what it used to be was that 15 seconds Vine video, and then died out, and everything took over by TikTok. So younger audiences on TikTok engage very differently compared to other platforms, and yes, mostly between the age of 13 to 18 and those below 25. So we have also seen how this platform has been used for social advocacy. So take, for instance, the BTS Army from the famous BTS K-pop group managed to run a campaign to raise funds for Black Lives Matter in the US and even interrupted Republican President Donald Trump's campaign. So it's a very powerful platform for the young people. And yes, in Malaysia, TikTok's audience is growing. And I think it's right for people like Syed Saddiq, Hannah Yeo, Yeo Bein, that started going into this area to get to the younger audience.
So on the same note, there are many politicians who aren't on social media at all. I'm not even Twitter. So are they missing out on an opportunity to build their name and brand?
Yeah, I think they do. There are politicians who rely solely on being in the news to get mentions and brand awareness, even without opening up an official account on social media. But, you know, the younger generation would like to know more about politicians via social media. They want to see them both physically and also on social media and engage with them on social media, sort of like a personal touch to see replies from politicians that they follow. Well, politicians are certainly missing out a huge chunk of the younger audience here, because a huge number of them will be young voters by next year. 7.8 million young voters will be eligible to vote by July 2021. And that's less than a year to go for only 18's amendment to be fully gazetted in force. Building one's name on social media is not just about brand awareness, but also brand trustworthiness. So when for politicians itself, although it is definitely different than the other content creators, but politicians themselves can create content on social media based on the objectives, whether they would like to educate people about the rights of voting, updates about their work, announcements or campaigns or whatnot, or even to raise funds. It's so much to explore on these platforms to engage with the millennials.
You know, Norman, I can't help but wonder if the following they build on these social media platforms can actually translate to votes, or at least, you know, create political conversations among the electorate. Or do people just see them as online personalities and follow them for entertainment?
Oh, that's a very good question. One can be very popular on social media, but that does not translate to votes. I think politicians got to make it very, very clear. At the end of the day, it's that physical, personal touch that they have to do on the ground. But politicians themselves must be very clear on this, that they can be online personalities, but it's more effectively to be present physically. So on this note, now, what was once difficult to engage with political figures personally, so these social media platforms have provided an outlet for many people to speak to politicians. And this is good for many upcoming and budding young politicians. In my opinion, I think it's a mix of both. After all, it's more about telling your stories and being human. Because sometimes for a lot of people out there, they think politicians are like pretty, you know, they're dry and things like that and not approachable. So they tell stories. They become human again on social media. After all, being social media, it's being social physically and online. And politicians are just like you and I. They're normal people. So they use this platform to tell about themselves. It's not about putting their brand, but it's also about being human again.
So I'd like to follow up on that. Can we gauge how popular a politician is on the ground based on their social media following?
I think it's both. You know, huge followings will send a lot of chatter and social media data, as well as dark social media data. I think to some of your followers, for some of the listeners out there, the dark social media data here refers to messaging apps such as WhatsApp and Telegram. Those are kind of things that we don't know what's going on right there. But now, these chatters and engagements with politicians do create a sense of popularity or virality. So how did former Prime Minister Najib Razak get back so quickly with his moniker Bosco? It's a targeted campaign. You know, it's, you know, to me, it's like marketing all over again to paint a different persona, but it's very relatable to the target market, which in this case, towards a younger Malay-speaking audience. And even to the rural areas, people think that, hey, this is cool. So they would like to follow because they don't follow about what's going on in politics, but they know that there's Bosco, he's popular, I would like to follow. These kind of things. So we tend to see a politician is popular on social media. But the next thing I will look at is how engaged they are on these platforms. So it cannot be merely just photos and videos of what they do, you know, those posting statements, and, you know, those are not engaging at all. But more of what and how they engage with the followers and fans. It works like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it works like a marketing campaign. So if a politician is popular and highly engaging on social media, I will tell you, we will most probably see they are equally popular too on the ground. So let's say if they go to the ground to meet and greet, you will see a lot of people coming out too.
You know, there is a sense that many people, especially the youth, are feeling numb or very disillusioned by politics or are just simply not interested. So can politicians being on platforms like TikTok, you know, rebrand the political landscape as a whole into something that can be fun and cool?
To me, I think it's trial and error. Again, you know, politics is something, it involves everyone, and it's, you know, it's very intrusive to every single part of our life because every single policies affect our daily lives. So it also puts to, you know, put the politicians to think again about how to engage and how to speak to the younger generation. You know, these days we cannot simply use younger generation. Younger generation may mean between the age of 25 to 30. But how do we speak to those who are age 15 to 20? And, you know, through this content, it's funny. But at the end of the day, you slip in some, you know, messages like, you know, what Sadiq was doing, using Rukun Negara, and then, you know, taking sarcastic, you know, people might think it's cool, but I think it's really smart way of doing a political satire on TikTok. So it's a way to inform people, to make, you know, sometimes politics can be really funny. It's not just dry. And politicians can make full use of it and explore in ways to get the messages out.
On the flip side, you know, can politicians being on social media contribute to the growing political fatigue, disillusionment and apathy among the youth? You know, after all, platforms like TikTok and Snapchat are what people generally use to escape real world problems, you know, not necessarily to be bombarded with political messaging.
Yeah, they do. I do agree. At the end of the day, it's up to, you know, politicians got to gauge, you know, sometimes not to just throw everything down the throat to a lot of people out there. It gets to, you know, in your face kind of thing. You know, you will just drive a lot of young people away. So the political conversation on social media seems to be going on and on with no end. You know, these days it's just with much angst and disappointment. But, you know, I look at it from another perspective. So youths are using the social media platforms to be heard. You know, let themselves to be heard and things like that. So young people are using these outlets to create social movement, to start advocating for things they're passionate about. You know, even for Black Lives Matter, even, you know, recently we have a lot of chatter about the cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation. Although it might seem like a Klang Valley bubble kind of conversation, but, you know, it's really interesting how conversations like this can go. You know, that I think young people are rising up to take over social media space and taking on the questions to put politicians to questions about policies, laws, and many more. It can turn out to be something really entertaining after all. So TikTok and Snapchat, they are still a source of entertainment, fun, and even to many, it's just escapism for them. The same too when we start watching one video after another on YouTube in MCU. I think recent data showed that 80% of our data users on YouTube and Instagram. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, people just want to be informed. Now that's where you see the behavior starts change from that entertainment seeking behavior, then to a certain event, then they will move towards, they want to know more about what's going on and what they can do to change things. They want to feel empowered by it. So these platforms offer them sort of an outlet to voice out even what they think of certain issues, like even drunk driving. They can use TikTok to talk about it. So it's another outlet for them to voice. I think it's... you know, at the end of the day, it will normalize, it will balance out itself. While politicians try to invade this space, I think young people will just try to, you know, at the end of the day, where they will just seize the space and make it different again.
All right. Thank you so much, Norman. That was Norman Goh, the head of social media and a journalist at The Vibes.
So we were asking you on Twitter, we had a poll in relation to this story where we asked, are social media platforms like TikTok effective methods of communication for politicians? So 70% of you said no, it isn't, while 30% of you said yes, it is. So we had a couple of comments. Kristen says, Christine says this so depends on the politicians. If the politicians get TikTok, these are your future voters. So you've got to study the memes and do the research. We have Nat Loves to Ponder who says, you know, if your site's a dick, definitely yes. Whether you hate him or you love him or anything in between, he knows how to engage with the rakyat, especially the younger ones. But not so sure about holding portfolios though.
Oh dear. I don't know. I find that it's really quite important, especially since we're trying to engage with a younger audience, right? We're trying to engage with the younger ones who, as you know, as we've been seeing throughout this whole interview, throughout this whole segment, they're so disillusioned. They think that they can't make any changes at all. And these are the sort of ways to kind of get them involved in you know, activism, in being interested in politics. So I really think that whatever method you can use, you do it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think Norman brought up a good point on how, you know, politics doesn't always have to be, you know, drab and it's just serious people talking about serious things. It can be fun, it can be lighthearted and all the things along those nature, right? So I think it may not be important to someone like me, you know, whether they're on TikTok making funny videos. But I think there are, especially, you know, it doesn't have to be people who are already ready to vote or what, you know, because you're trying to develop the next generation, right? So even someone who is like 15, 16, 17 years old, who spend a lot of time on platforms like TikTok, I think it is important.
I think it humanizes the politicians in a way, because they're not just people that you read about in the newspaper or people who show up in your area when it's voting time, you know. Social media sort of creates an almost seemingly personal relationship between you and your MP, for example. And having sort of fun videos, TikTok videos, for example, creates that sense of familiarity, like, oh, wait, that person is just like me. And perhaps that one day not only encourages people to go out and vote, but encourages people to participate in politics.
That's right. I guess, like you said, you know, it's a way for us to keep in touch with our MPs, to kind of know what they're up to. Because also, if, you know, whatever they're doing, if it's reported in the media, that's up to the media to report, isn't it? This is the kind of things that a way of keeping everyone informed of everything they're doing. So it's really important. But, you know, do you follow any politicians on social media platforms?
Yeah, I follow quite a number of them, actually, because although I'm not on TikTok and Snapchat and all these, I don't know what the young kids are doing.
So old, right, Dash. Oh my goodness. Late 20s. Ancient, I must say.
But definitely Twitter. Twitter is my go-to platform to, you know, follow journalists, activists, politicians and all that. In fact, I find it weird when politicians don't have, because you know, like, there, most of the big name politicians do have Twitter accounts. Some of them may not use it as often, but sometimes you want to know how do you find out what your smaller aduns are doing, you know, for your constituency and all that, because their names are not going to be popping up in you know, the big headlines, in the big newspapers, in all these sorts of things. So the only way for you to find out is if they sort of engage with you, they put up what they're doing. And like Syed Sadeh is of course a big name, but I like how he uses Twitter, you know, whether or not you like his stance or not, that's a different story. But he shows you, like, okay, now I'm at Parliament debating. Then a few hours later, I'm in Mua. I'm, you know, without my slippers, I'm in the floods, you know, helping people carry stuff, things like that. I think those things, more politicians should show what exactly they're doing.
It's I guess, one way to let people hold you more accountable in a way, you know, at least show that you're doing something.
Yes. Yeah, so if you are a politician that's doing something, you know, this is the perfect way, right? You're just campaigning throughout, you know, and showing this is why you elected me, this is why I am your choice. And, you know, remember this at next elections, basically, right? Yes, but that's all the time, I'm afraid, we have for today's show. But if you miss any part of it, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for it on the BFM app or on Spotify. If you'd like to drop us, the team, a message, you can look for us on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and chat with us over there. Coming up at 3 p.m., it's our 31st episode of Law and Behold. And I'll be speaking to Qiu Jiayao, who is an environmental lawyer, and we'll be discussing the right to a clean environment and whether the federal constitution should be amended to expressly include this right of a clean and healthy environment. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we're going to leave you with Fleet Foxes and Young Man's Game. You've been listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.